Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All that stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. I'm trying to get to the bottom of a mystery. Ooh. There are pictures of me around the studio and around the station cut out, and they're old ones of when I didn't have my beard or my goatee or my mustache, and I was noticeably younger and thinner.
I don't know about noticeably.
Oh, thanks, Gavin. Yeah, I thought I was. And so I'm not sure why they're around.
Should you have been saying thank you? That could have been a diss.
What?
Well, I think.
I took it as a diss.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, you did.
That was a sarcastic thank you.
Here's my follow-up, though.
Yeah.
I don't think you look that bad these days.
Doesn't. Man. Too late. Damage is done.
Sorry.
But you guys swear you know nothing about why this is.
No. It's new to us. I bet it's something that somebody, like either Joy or Becker,
or
somebody's
digital,
doing
maybe.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really weird.
Like, I don't know why. It's weird that they chose that one, too, for them to go delve back into the past and grab that.
Well, I looked at it. I'm doing my own sleuthing. This is actually on photo paper, so they didn't print it from, like, the website. These must be old photos we had taken up, like,
really?
We used to do, like, photo cards.
I could see Michael doing something like that.
Yeah, and so I'm like, are they trying to mess with my head somehow?
They want you to ask.
They're everywhere.
Granted, I don't mind seeing me all over the station like that. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Have you ever had a problem with that?
Never. Like during Zoom was the best time when we would do Zoom, when Betty Rock and Becca at the time were both still working from home. I could see my face every day, and I could see my reactions to things. I only watch me on Zooms. Do you guys do that or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I'm always
you.
Looking, seeing how the hair looks.
Yeah.
Everything looks.
But then Betty Rock does not.
I might glance, but I'm worried that if I'm looking at myself, they'll notice that I'm doing that, so I never do.
I think it's natural. I think people, like, if you see yourself and you're interacting, like, on Zoom, I think it's just natural that people are going to watch themselves. Now,
I don't know, because sometimes you would sit there with your chin in your palm, and you would just stare lovingly, and I thought, he's not looking at me. he's looking
at himself. It's funny, I've had people, because we talked about coining different phrases for things that you do on Zoom meetings, and like I will put my hand in front of my mouth, and I will talk to people in the room with the mic off, so no one can see my lips moving when there's something in a meeting that I think is just lunacy. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody the other day, we were in a meeting, and somebody texted me, I see your face, and I'm like, what? I thought I'd really concealed like what I was really feeling. They're like, nope. All right, so here's the deal. We're going to dive into no extra news stuff today, but Betty Rock had pulled stuff from The Bachelor, and I really want to have this conversation. Honestly, I'm nervous about this conversation because it could be to my own detriment, because these are very tricky waters to navigate, and not for the just salacious stupidness of The Bachelor, but because of how it ended and with the racial connotations, these conversations, sadly, are hard to have. And sometimes there's not an upside. There's only a downside if you have an opinion counter to what the rest of the world might be saying, or not the rest of the world, what a small group of people might be saying at the time is egregious, you know? And so we're gonna dive into this. We'll start with the first stuff, because I watched the entire thing last night. I watched all of it.
Okay, so I didn't watch it, but I did see it on all news channels. So it looks like Matt, the Bachelor, he finally made his final choice. Her name is Rachel, and he typically at the end they propose,
right?
But he did a little something different.
I've seen what rushing into a proposal in marriage can do in my family, and it's ugly, and it's not something I want for you. For us, and that's why I can't propose to you today. But that doesn't mean I want to lose you. I want to leave here with you. And the truth is that I love you.
Okay. So that's not good. A big deal. Like, that's smart. Actually, I think that's smart. I have no problem with him at this point. Mm-hmm. Now, he did kind of jerk the girls around a little bit because he was all in his head and his feelings. And he was like, I just don't know. And he's crying to Chris.
He's living his truth.
Absolutely. So he's down to two, sends the one girl home the night of their date before they're supposed to do the big rose, you know, reveal with the two girls. He goes ahead and sends her home. And then it comes out in the Women Tell All, or not the Women Tell All, but after the rose, where she didn't get like closure. He basically just told her everything and then walked her out. And she told the producer, she's like, I just need two more minutes with him. This is someone I'm in love with. And he would not talk to her. Sketch.
Matt wouldn't?
Yeah, Matt would not talk to her. Sketch
That's
move,
so
Matt.
Weird.
You're like, you're supposed to be the nice guy and blah, blah, blah. And then the other girl, because I get being unsure. Like, he wasn't sure about her and he wasn't and he was unsure about the final girl, Rachel. And so it's supposed to be the date. He has a date with her and then maybe to give him more clarity or whatever. And he refuses to see her. He's like, he doesn't want to see anybody today. He's got he's in his head. And so then they just show up to the last thing. And that's what happened there. He kind of says we're going to date, which that's so smart. Like, honestly, that show where you feel like you have to end in a proposal is crazy because it trivializes marriage. It makes you think, oh, well, you can have all these feelings and get to this point in 30 days. And maybe it does take longer than that, you know?
And that's okay.
Yeah, and
doesn't mean it's any less love.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that the show doesn't work. It's like, okay, like when you get out of the confines of that show and you get into the real world, that's where things tend to, you know, statistically fall apart for all the bachelors and bachelorettes. And that is the case with this one too.
Right. And so at the end of the show, they're going to do the, what did you call it? The rose?
After the rose.
After the rose.
Yeah.
So
I hate that I know that.
In that episode, they have, you know, the people that were on the show coming back on stage. But the new person, it's not Chris Harrison, it's a new guy.
Yeah,
the
what's
new
his
host.
Name? Ancho?
Emmanuel Acho.
Acho, yeah. I keep thinking Ocho Cinco, that other athlete, but Emmanuel Acho.
So they were showing back about this proposal, what happened, and then they bring Matt up on stage to currently talk about what's going on because there is a delay in when that all happens. And it ends up that it didn't end out how they thought it would.
So you all are no longer together?
We're not. And it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Him and Rachel.
Okay. It is.
Now here's where we get into it.
All right.
Ready. Wait.
Set that timer. Set the timer.
No, this is where we get into it. Okay. So the reason that they are no longer together, admitted by both of them, is that she was in college and went to a sorority party that was like an antebellum themed sorority party where they all wore big Gone with the Wind era dresses.
In what year?
What 3 years ago she does.
Yeah, 2018.
Okay. Yeah, so 3 years ago she does this. Okay, so photos surface of this, and the charge is instantly that she is either a racist or racially insensitive. Well, she's obviously not a racist. She's going on the show knowing that it was Matt, knowing it's a black guy, and she's going in there to date him and is sincere and genuine in at the end, especially in her love for this guy. So what happens is these pictures come to light, and they obviously talk about it, and he is like, you can never understand me as a black man. And again, this is his choice, and he basically, though, throws her away. And the whole thing that was so frustrating in this, and they're like, she's got to do the work. They use all these buzzwords. She's got to do the work on herself. She's got to do this work now. And it's like, then one of the questions was like asking her, okay, when you were in the final two, how many sleepless nights did you have thinking about these photographs coming to light? And she's like, none, actually, because again, it's like it's this thing called consciousness of guilt. She didn't think she had done anything wrong because inherently at her soul, she's not a racist. Now, they're using the term racially insensitive. And so, you know, some people say, OK, well, this is insensitive because of what the antebellum time period represents. Lady A, the country band, changed their name from Lady Antebellum to Lady A. Mm-hmm. Were they racist beforehand? No, because culture changed. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, we don't want to be seen as racially insensitive. So we're going to change this. So that's where this comes down to. And they kept grilling this girl over and over and over again and keep saying that she's got to do all this work to somehow allude to not be as insensitive or not be as racist. It was lunacy. And all she did the entire time was own it and be kind and loving. And they just treated her, I think, so badly. And Matt was like, to me, like you talk a big game. You talk this big game about how We want to bring races together. And so here's your opportunity to do that. You, as somebody who you said you loved her, you go, okay, yeah, that was a mistake. It was 3 years ago. I know you're not that person. And so together we will address this and I will vouch for you. That's how you combat racial insensitivity. That's how you, you know, change people's hearts and change people's minds. You don't throw her away, throw her to the wolves. I think, and I will forever think this, he could not make up his mind still because they asked him, well, were you headed to get married? And he's like, well, that's the goal of any relationship. And so he still didn't, I think he still wasn't fully in love with her or convinced. And he used this as his excuse to step away to her detriment, because that is the thing that will follow her. Anytime her name gets brought up, this is what's going to be talked about. Not that she was like a really good person, and not that she was loving and kind and extended grace to him when no one else in the world was giving her any. That's not going to be remembered. It's just that you were racially insensitive, you know? And so these are the conversations that honestly are dangerous for me to have as a white male, like, because I will get labeled as a racist because I'm not, you know, coming in line with the few people that say this is the worst thing ever, and, you know, that people that feel like this are racist, because I don't believe she's a racist for any stretch of the imagination. I don't even think she thought she was being racially insensitive. You don't penalize for that. You want to educate, then educate. Do it together. That's how we change things.
Do you think that it would have been different? And I've only seen the picture in passing.
Yes.
But the picture that was posted of her and her, what do you call them? The
antebellum dress?
Sorority
yes.
groups.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big group of girls.
Yeah.
But do you think, I don't think there was an African-American girl in that picture,
in the
was
sorority?
There?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen that.
But
yeah.
I wonder, right. would it have been different right. had there been?
Probably not. It would have been an excuse about how, you know, they still did this and this girl didn't really want to be part of it, but she was. Like, just because they're writing the narrative they want to write with this. Had they called it a Jane Austen party because it's the same time in London, then would it have been an issue? That's the bigger question, you know, because I really do believe, like, I don't think all these girls got together and went, let's be racially insensitive, let's be racist. I think they got together and went, we love this style, this yeah. era of dress, let's have fun and let's do this. But the connotation for somebody else who experienced, well, the irony is nobody that is talking about this discussion today outside of older people experienced that, you know, like, you know, experienced that firsthand. No one that we know experienced it firsthand. But I get that there is a different connotation for different people. But guess what? We're going to always have different connotations based on our experiences of life, based on our gender, based on our race, based on a lot of different things. And again, it comes back to, don't vilify this girl, but like actually work together. And I think they should have taken this on as a team to, you know, I think if nothing else, he should have done it with her instead of, he really did step back from her. It was one of the most, I think, cowardly moves. Like, everyone talked about this guy on the show. I did not respect him. I thought he was a boring character. I liked like some of his good things that he said, but then when it got hard and then when it got real, the things he said, I don't think lined up with the actions he chose to take. That's where you define a man. That's the measure of a man, is in what you do, A, when no one's looking, or B, when things get hard. And so that was the thing. And the other part of this that really resonated with me is they kept throwing around this word racially insensitive. I would pose, if you can be racially insensitive, it is also possible to be racially oversensitive in different things. I really do believe that. I think that we run this danger, and I've talked about this before on the show, we run a really big danger when we assign racism to things that maybe are not inherent like that, or maybe we set the trigger too high on it, and then we demean or diminish the real causes and the real racism that exists and the things that we really should be attacking and coming together on fully, when we get sidetracked by everything's a racial issue, because not everything is a racial issue. It's just not. There are people that want to make it that, and those are the people that are further dividing us. Now, are their hearts in the right place? I do believe that. I believe that, you know, people that are super, super sensitive to these causes, just like people that are super sensitive to abortion causes, like their heart's in the right place, but their execution of that is where things go south a lot of times. So again, who knows, I might not even be here tomorrow. Like, I literally, somebody could hear this and go, he's a racist because he said these things, and I could be removed tomorrow for this, which would be crazy town, and I would hopefully be on Good Morning America after that. But they wouldn't have me because I don't fit the narrative, I guess, you know. So anyway, whoo!
Did you set a timer?
Yeah. Yeah, right at 7 minutes and 30 seconds.
That was a monologue. Excellent. Actually, I wanted it to be more of a dialogue, but then I just got on a roll, and I'm sorry.
No.
Am I crazy, Rock? I mean, like, Gavin,
I don't think you're crazy. I think it's tough because I don't know if I can give a correct answer just because I am not an African American, so I don't know what oppression or
right.
things like that they have faced. So I don't know if I have I can't get the passion behind it because I don't feel like I can speak correctly about it.
Right.
Because I'm not in those shoes. But I will admit that it definitely seems like no matter if it's something about race or religion or just the way you live life, it seems like you're going to There's so much division in everything, and everyone is living their truth. And if it doesn't agree to your truth, well, then they're wrong. And we say there needs to be grace, but then we don't put it into practice.
I had a great conversation with Carlos Whitaker, and his story. He's an author and a speaker, and he's a black guy. And like but we're friends, you know. Like, he had a great story that came to light that went around the country when his neighbor, this like 76-year-old white guy, painted a black and a white bunny. It was in the height of the Black Lives Matter stuff, and painted a black and a white bunny on his lawn to show that he, you know, aligned with black people and was and saw everybody equal. And it's funny because the guy goes, I even made, because Carlos asked him about it and they'd never spoken, and he goes, I even made the black bunny bigger, you know, like I'm like trying so hard. But that was a time where I think he and I, sitting down face to face, had a really great conversation. You can see it at wayfm.com, just slash Wally, just search Carlos Whitaker. But we had a great conversation about the realities of race in America. But it was okay because there was mutual respect. We could talk about things that we saw maybe differently, and we could learn from those things. Like, I think we should learn from each other's experience, but oh, yeah. How we go about doing that, if you set the trigger so high and everyone's instantly a racist that doesn't know what you know or understand what you know about mm-hmm. racism, then you're only going to hurt that cause and set it further back. I had a friend of mine in radio tell me, he goes, you can't blame people for what they don't know. Okay. And because, like, I used to get frustrated by people that didn't know how to edit fast enough or didn't know how to do the radio the way I did it. And so they didn't think the way I thought. And he's like, dude, you can't blame them for what they don't know, what they haven't been taught. Mm-hmm. Your job is to teach them these things, and then it's going to make your life better. And I think that's the thing, too. It's almost like we want to blame people. They even did this on the show last night. The guy, the host, who, by the way, suits are too tight, and he's not really good at hosting. He's very stiff. But he asked her, he's like, basically, who do you blame for this? Was it your upbringing? Was it like, wait, you're assuming that I'm this bad person, and someone has to be blamed for my behavior. So that's assumption number one that's messed up. And two, you're assuming that I did something purposely wrong and somebody broke me. And it's like, no, sometimes people just might maybe make mistakes, or they're unaware. And she was, God bless her, she was like, I don't think I can blame anybody, because she's like, I didn't try to hurt anybody. And I just, mm-hmm. I just didn't know that people thought it was an issue.
You can't like be on the winning side in her situation.
No.
I think. And like, you know, as we're talking about this, what I'm thinking through is like, let's say she, you know, goes to this party in 2018, they take the picture, they post the picture. But what if like a year later she posts something saying, hey, like this photo was racially insensitive.
Right.
Like, she posts something saying that she understands how other people might see that.
Right.
And then let's say we fast forward to 2021 and that stuff comes back up again. Are we going to view her as, are they still going to try and run with that narrative of, oh, look what she actually went to? Or are they,
oh, they actually
say,
will.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But they wouldn't say like, oh, look, she actually tried to make reprimands. And even now moving forward, if they're saying you have to go do the good work and you have to make your reprimands.
Right.
Like, if she goes out and does that, it's like she's only doing it because they
right.
are pushing her to do it, versus where is it actually coming from? Does she really want to, and does she really think she needs to make reprimands, or is she just trying to, you know, suffice the media?
She seemed really kind and genuine about everything, and so it's like, yeah, they want her to atone for her sin, in essence. That's what they're saying. Go, you need to do the work. Well, what is the work then? Well, you just need to do the work.
Do you need to, like, tweet more? Do you need to post more things on Instagram?
He was such a coward, too, because he goes, you know what? And she needs to do this work by herself without me. She needs to work on herself, and I think that she can do it. She's strong. It's like, no, she doesn't need to do the work. She messed up. She's already told everyone, I messed up. And now when she goes forward, just she'll be well aware of this, and she will be hypersensitive to racial issues. She's doing the work, but it's not like you get a check mark list to do the work and then now you're forgiven.
It's not like probation where you're like, well, you've
it is probation,
but it's, or not in the sense that it's like, sadly, okay, you've done your 5 years of serving, like you're good. She can't just be like, oh, you've done like 3 years of not posting anything racist.
And
good
for
job.
Some people, it'll that's never silly. Be enough. Like, you can never atone enough.
To me, and this could be my Enneagram 9 talking.
Okay. Let's go.
I feel like a lot of people, there's a lot of assumptions being made,
mm-hmm. sure.
and it's due
true.
To a lack of communication.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people are afraid that they won't be able to stand up for their cause or say the right words that they need to say, so they won't approach someone that has a differing opinion. So these people do need to sit down and have a conversation, and there needs to be mutual respect there. But I think we need to be careful as well, because we need to say they need to practice grace. We need to practice what we preach, because like, there's not going to be a chance for you to sit down with this Matt guy and ask him where
I
he's
would
coming
do it
from.
In a heartbeat.
I know you would, but there won't be a chance,
right.
is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I think just as quick as you're making assumptions about he made this decision and that was cowardly
sure.
and all this stuff, you're doing the same thing that he's doing with her, with
right.
Rachel. He's just assuming she needs to do this on her. I'm not pointing.
Matt needs to do the work. No, in my opinion, Matt needs to do
okay,
the work.
Okay, so everyone has an opinion that they're freely sharing before they have a sit-down conversation with someone
right.
and get the heart behind why you made the decision
yeah.
that you did. And if you don't think you can take up your calls in a good way, then don't air your opinion.
I think he needs to do the work. That's what I'm going to say, because that's all you have to say. You can just say, I think he needs to do the work. He needs to do the work of being a better man. How about that? And it has nothing to do with race. Be a better man. Go do the work, Matt. And then come back to me and prove to me you've become a better man. Like, that's in essence what they're saying with her. But they get a free pass because it's a race issue versus me going, it's a character issue with you, sir. You have a character flaw, you know, and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you talk about having a conversation. That was one of the most interesting parts of that Carlos Whitaker interview. As I told him, I said, man, I said, honestly, there's things I'm almost nervous to discuss in this, because it, even my most well-meaning intention can be totally twisted, taken out of context, and used against me mm-hmm. for an allegation that I will never be able to shake. And he goes, you know what, man? He goes, I get that, but I would rather we have the conversation. I would rather you say what you think, and that's how we learn. And so I do agree. You're right.
There's
we need to have a conversation.
There's a lot of fear that's played into this, because people don't want to speak up because
right.
they're scared they're going to say the wrong thing or it's going to start something. I just think there's a lack of grace, a lack of compassion. I agree that our ancestors did something that wasn't right.
Sure. But sadly, not everybody agrees with that, but most white people go, that was jacked up.
That I don't understand. I will agree with that. Should I be paying for the sins of that?
Sure.
That ancestor?
That's where we differ.
I don't think so.
And how long does that happen?
But,
yeah.
Right. And because I agree, it's wrong, but then I don't
right.
know.
But here's the problem. You just saying, should I pay for the sins of that? Well, you're either racially insensitive or you're a racist now. That's the problem. That's the two lines we draw.
Really?
Yeah, we really do. We draw these lines like that versus to say, okay, is there some area to either grow in, learn in, or a middle ground between all of these extremes? We live a life of extremes.
But a lack of communication is just going to create more chaos.
Mm, absolutely.
I remember during the Black Lives Matter movement last year, a lot of what I was seeing on social media was a lot of people were like posting their support for the Black Lives Movement, and then people would post, if you're not saying something
right,
then you're also a part of the
problem.
You're
culpable.
Which, like, I don't 100% agree with that, because just because I sit back and don't
right.
verbally support it doesn't mean that I don't have like a heart for what's going on. I might just right. not be like a guy who posts on social media right. to say that I care
about
something.
I don't go to abortion rallies. Do I believe in abortion? No. But
when you post stuff like that on social media, does it really make a difference? Is it helping?
That's a great question.
Is it helping the situation? I think
no.
if you want to say, I think we all would agree, no matter your skin tone, you're all important. In
Absolutely.
The eyes of God,
Absolutely.
It does not matter. It does not matter what color your skin is. But I think if you really believe that, then and you're wanting to make a cause and stand up for what you believe in, then do something that actually makes a difference. And that is maybe hosting a get together and saying you need to sit with someone that has different religions than you, different skin color than you, and get their story behind why they believe what they believe, because that is where change is going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be from changing your profile picture that says now Black Lives
right,
Matter.
Right.
That doesn't make a change. It doesn't do anything. So just to assume, we're going back to the word assume, you're assuming that anyone that doesn't say anything on social media is not making a difference. I agree with Gavin. You don't know what they're doing. There could be something that they're doing behind the scenes
right.
that they don't want fingers
oh,
pointed
totally.
At, but they're making a huge difference from that. I don't know.
Well,
now you're
go.
Getting me on it.
I know. It's
I don't
fun,
want.
Isn't it?
I don't like it.
I don't think that
we should
we
dial
should
it
be,
back a little bit. You're coming off a little
like
angry.
This,
little
I don't
angry.
Like
it's not helping the situation.
I don't like that we're having this discussion because it came from like The Bachelor.
That's
you know,
my biggest problem.
Last year made a lot of sense, but The Bachelor, it's like, man, I wish like.
See, I have the exact opposite thing.
Really,
the reason we're having this is because it's a real world scenario.
That's true,
and it's being played out relationally, and so it's like finally, The Bachelor actually had something that maybe would start a real mm-hmm. conversation about things that truly matter and not the dumb rose stuff.
That's
you know,
a good point.
Like so, I actually thought that like, oh wow, this was good. I'm glad that we get to have this conversation. Now, it was frustrating watching it last night. You know, and I'm sure that there are people. That maybe feel I don't even want to say opposite of me because I'm not putting myself against anything, but might maybe feel different than me on some of it that were watching it that were very frustrated maybe for Matt, you know, and I was frustrated for her and I don't and it could not it might not even line up racially. I mean, you just might like the guy or you might like the girl regardless of your race, and you felt they're getting an unfair shake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to live in a day where it truly was all lives matter. Like, I truly wish that was how we approached everything and that we got it right all the time. But the reality is we live in a broken world. We're not always going to get it right. Are we going to do the things to take the steps to make progress? I sure hope so. I sure hope so, because it would be a better place to live.
Yeah, and I think, too, it starts with the church, you know?
Yeah.
We've got to, and I don't know what that fix is, but I do believe that God has put things on people's hearts. They've got to have the courage to step up and do something, giving them the gifts that they need to speak well. I don't really know, but it's just going to take a lot of courage.
I think we're going to end on Betty Rock's rant there. So,
yeah, I timed hers. No.
I will say one more thing.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Like, it feels good, doesn't it, Rock?
Encore.
No. Let me say one more thing.
Bonus round.
I think that there is a problem when it comes to men in the church.
Okay, let's dive into this.
Wow.
We've only been 27 minutes
Time
on this.
To
let's
expand.
Get to gender
I'll
now.
I'll keep it short.
No.
What is it?
My simple thing
Please.
Is I do believe that there are men that should be in leadership roles.
Okay.
And that there has been a lackluster of leadership when it comes
Ooh.
To men. If you look at churches, I know this is my experience with all the churches I've been in, and this comes from being 35 and single. There is a drastic difference between men in the church and women in the church.
You mean as far as who has roles?
Or like maturity?
No, as in like available guys.
Oh,
gotcha.
But I'm saying as well but that goes into everything else. There's lots of wives that go to church by themselves because the husband is either working or just doesn't want to go. And I think some of the breakdown of where we're at comes from men not answering the call that God has put on their heart
sure.
to be that role in families. There's so many broken families,
sure.
men that aren't there for their children, and children are having to be raised just by their mothers. Well, then those sons are not getting the the example right. of what it looks like to be a leader, to be a man, to stand up for what you believe in. And so I think that, to me personally, I think that's where a big breakdown is.
Would you rather have a church that had all male leadership of good men, or would you rather see it more diverse with diverse among gender lines, with split with women having roles as well? If you could choose, which would you choose?
If it's even, I would pick both.
You'd pick both. Okay.
Yeah, but I feel like right now there's just, I feel like if a man is taking leadership or ownership of his leadership, he's going to be putting on so many hats, is what I feel.
I think that
women... And that women are having to make up for that. No, that's not to say I believe that women can have just as big of a role as men
do.
We
have a lot of women
church.
At our church that are pastor, leader, people, and they're great.
Right. But I don't think that's how... I honestly don't think women can do some things where men can do other things better.
Right.
But I'm saying women can do some things better
sure,
than men
sure.
can't.
Absolutely,
but
they
I'm
100%.
Saying there's a lack of men in the church that are willing to do the part and take the leadership
role.
Well,
I think that largely comes from systemically how men and women approach faith, and women are so much more
emotional.
I didn't say that. I'm scared
now. That's where you're going.
No.
Okay.
Women are so much more in tune with their faith. And if you think about so many relationships, it was the wife that was being the one pushing the family to go to church. It was the wife who was the one that was, in essence, being the spiritual leader
Haley
of her home.
Where I'm at.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
I think there's, because a big part of faith is submission.
Right.
And that doesn't come naturally for a man.
Right. Oh,
no, that's a really good
You think
point.
You need to be the leader and you Absolutely. Need to be independent, but I'm saying there's a pride issue there as well,
sure.
where it's easier as a woman to submit to God, I believe.
I believe that.
But there's a pride issue there, and that if a man can't submit to a holy God and believe that he has everything good in line for him, no matter what happens, then that's a problem.
That's how we got here. Adam and Eve, same thing. There's the pride of...
We live in a broken world, is really what it comes down to.
It was a sin of pride and wanting to know more and wanting to be like God. I mean, that's where most sin... You could track almost every problem we have down to either pride or self. Those two sins, just those two sins alone, somewhere it all gets like tracked back to those two things. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with you. So anyway, what do you say we wrap this up?
I wonder what mine timed out to. I forgot to time
it. I do wonder. But
it might have been around 3 minutes.
No. We're at 31. You're about five.
Yeah, you're okay. about
five. I'm glad you brought it up, though, Betty. That was cool.
Thank you, Gavin.
That's great. All right. No.
Come on. We have such a good moment.
I can't leave it like that. I'm proud of you.
I don't believe you.
No, I do. I am. Okay. That's going to do it for your AfterCast. And as always, thanks for being a potty.